The whole of the Orient has been blessed by the boon brought back by Gautama Buddha, his wonderful teaching of the good law, just as the Occident has been by the Decalogue of Moses. The Greeks referred fire, the first support of all human culture, to the world-transcending deed of their Prometheus, and the Romans the founding of their world-supporting city to Aeneas, following his departure from fallen Troy, and his visit to the eerie underworld of the dead. Everywhere, no matter what the sphere of interest, whether religious, political, or personal, the really creative acts are represented as those deriving from some sort of dying to the world. And what happens in the interval of the hero's non-entity, so that he comes back as one reborn, made great and filled with creative power, mankind is also unanimous in declaring. We shall have only to follow, therefore, a multitude of heroic figures through the classic stages of the universal adventure in order to see again what has always been revealed. This will help us to understand not only the meaning of those images for contemporary life, but also the singleness of the human spirit in its aspirations, powers, vicissitudes, and wisdom. The following will present in the form of one composite adventure the tales of a number of the world's symbolic carriers of the destiny of every man. The first great stage, that of the separation or departure, will be shown in Part 1, Chapter 1, in 5 subsections. 1. The call to adventure, or the signs of the vocation of the hero. 2. Refusal of the call, or the folly of the flight from the god. 3. Supernatural aid, the unsuspected assistance that comes to one who has undertaken his proper adventure. 4. The crossing of the first threshold. 5. The belly of the whale, or the passage into the realm of night. The stage of the trials and victories of initiation will appear in Chapter 2 in 6 subsections. 1. The road of trials, or the dangerous aspect of the gods. 2. The meeting with the goddess, Magna Mater, or the bliss of infancy regained. 3. Woman as the temptress, the realization and agony of Oedipus. 4. Atonement with the Father. 5. Apotheosis. 6. The ultimate boon. The return and reintegration with society, which is indispensable to the continuous circulation of spiritual energy into the world, and which, from the standpoint of the community, is the justification of the long retreat, the hero himself may find the most difficult requirement of all. For if he has won through, like the Buddha, to the profound repose of complete enlightenment, there is danger that the bliss of this experience may annihilate all recollection of, interest in, or hope for, the sorrows of the world, or else the problem of making known the way of illumination to people wrapped in economic problems may seem too great to solve. And, on the other hand, if the hero, instead of submitting to all of the initiatory tests, has, like Prometheus, simply darted to his goal, by violence, quick device, or luck, and plucked the boon for the world that he intended, then the powers that he has unbalanced may react so sharply that he will be blasted from within and without, crucified, like Prometheus, on the rock of his own violated unconscious. Or, if the hero in the third place makes his safe and willing return, he may meet with such a blank misunderstanding and disregard from those whom he has come to help that his career will collapse. The third of the following chapters will conclude the discussion of these prospects under six subheadings. 1. Refusal of the return, or the world denied. 2. The magic flight, or the escape of Prometheus. 3. Rescue from without. 4. The crossing of the return threshold, or the return to the world of common day. 5. Master of the two worlds. 6. Freedom to live, the nature and function of the ultimate boon.
This circular adventure of the hero appears in a negative form in stories of the deluge type, where it is not the hero who goes to the power, but the power that rises against the hero and again subsides. Deluge stories occur in every quarter of the earth. They form an integral portion of the archetypal myth of the history of the world, and so belong properly to part two of the present discussion, the cosmogonic cycle. The deluge hero is a symbol of the germinal vitality of man surviving even the worst tides of catastrophe and sin.
The composite hero of the monomyth is a personage of exceptional gifts. Frequently he is honored by his society, frequently unrecognized or disdained. He and/or the world in which he finds himself suffers from a symbolical deficiency. In fairy tales, this may be as slight as the lack of a certain golden ring, whereas in apocalyptic vision, the physical and spiritual life of the whole earth can be represented as fallen or on the point of falling into ruin. Typically, the hero of the fairy tale achieves a domestic, microcosmic triumph, and the hero of myth, a world-historical, macrocosmic triumph. Whereas the former, the youngest or despised child who becomes the master of extraordinary powers, prevails over his personal oppressors, the latter brings back from his adventure the means for the regeneration of his society as a whole. Tribal or local heroes such as the emperor Huang Ti, Moses, or the Aztec Tezcatlipoca commit their boons to a single folk. Universal heroes, Muhammad, Jesus, Gautama Buddha, bring a message for the entire world. Whether the hero be ridiculous or sublime, Greek or barbarian, Gentile or Jew, his journey varies little in essential plan. Popular tales represent the heroic action as physical. The higher religions show the deed to be moral. Nevertheless, there will be found astonishingly little variation in the morphology of the adventure, the character roles involved, the victories gained. If one or another of the basic elements of the archetypal pattern is omitted from a given fairy tale, legend, ritual, or myth, it is bound to be somehow or other implied, and the omission itself can speak volumes for the history and pathology of the example, as we shall presently see. Part 2, the cosmogonic cycle, unrolls the great vision of the creation and destruction of the world, which is vouchsafed as revelation to the successful hero. Chapter 1, Emanations, treats of the coming of the forms of the universe out of the void. Chapter 2, The Virgin Birth, is a review of the creative and redemptive roles of the female power, first on a cosmic scale as the mother of the universe, then again on the human plane as the mother of the hero. Chapter 3, Transformations of the Hero, traces the course of the legendary history of the human race through its typical stages, the hero appearing on the scene in various forms according to the changing needs of the race. And Chapter 4, Dissolutions, tells of the foretold end, first of the hero, then of the manifested world. The cosmogonic cycle is presented with astonishing consistency in the sacred writings of all the continents, and it gives to the adventure of the hero a new and interesting turn. For now, it appears that the perilous journey was a labor not of attainment, but of reattainment, not discovery, but rediscovery. The godly powers sought and dangerously won are revealed to have been within the heart of the hero all the time. He is the king's son, who has come to know who he is, and therewith has entered into the exercise of his proper power. God's son, who has learned to know how much that title means. From this point of view, the hero is symbolical of that divine, creative, and redemptive image which is hidden within us all, only waiting to be known and rendered into life. For the one who has become many remains the one undivided, but each part is all of Christ. We read in the writings of St. Simeon the Younger, AD 949 to 1022. I saw him in my house, the saint goes on.
Among all those everyday things, he appeared unexpectedly and became unutterably united and merged with me, and leaped over to me without anything in between, as fire to iron, as the light to glass. And he made me like fire and like light, and I became that which I saw before and beheld from afar. I do not know how to relate this miracle to you. I am man by nature, and God by the grace of God.
A comparable vision is described in the apocryphal Gospel of Eve.
I stood on a lofty mountain and saw a gigantic man and another a dwarf, and I heard, as it were, a voice of thunder, and drew nigh for to hear. And he spake unto me, and said, I am thou, and thou art I, and wheresoever thou mayest be, I am there. In all am I scattered, and whensoever thou willest, thou gatherest me, and gathering me, thou gatherest thyself.
The two, the hero and his ultimate God, the seeker and the found, are thus understood as the outside and inside of a single, self-mirrored mystery, which is identical with the mystery of the manifest world. The great deed of the supreme hero is to come to the knowledge of this unity and multiplicity, and then to make it known.